This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. State Senator Stan Rosenberg is resigning. In a statement today, Rosenberg said that his resignation takes effect on 5 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. The announcement comes after yesterday's damning Senate Ethics Committee report, which found, quote, significant failures of judgment and leadership in Senator Rosenberg's role as Senate president, and said the senator, quote, knew or should have known that his then-husband, Brian Hefner, was sexually and racially harassing Senate employees. Rosenberg's statement today spoke of his sorrow and his sense of responsibility for not doing more to protect the Senate. For the latest on this story, let's turn to WBUR State House reporter Steve Brown. He's on Beacon Hill right now. Steve, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Meghna.
So what's the reaction there on Beacon Hill to Rosenberg's resignation?
Well, I think it's relief, although we haven't heard directly from members of the Senate because they've been holed up in a closed-door caucus on the floor below me since 11 o'clock this morning. I suspect that many of them are relieved. Many had been calling for his resignation since that report came out yesterday. Rosenberg's resignation does take the pressure off of them because now they don't have to level some sort of a sanction against him. He, as of tomorrow, is no longer a senator, so there's really not much they can do against him. He is, for all intents and purposes, will be gone. Now, with Rosenberg out of the building, they can try to move forward with the state's business, although I suspect the cloud this has caused may take a while to clear.
Yeah. So for people who are still catching up, because so much has happened in the past 24 hours, can you just, Steve, remind us of some of the key findings in that Ethics Committee report, which was released yesterday?
Sure. It found that Rosenberg didn't break any formal rules. Those are the rules that are set by the branch at the beginning of the session. However, it did say that he violated the legislature's IT policy by directing his staff to provide his husband, Brian Hefner, his password, giving Hefner access to Rosenberg's calendar and emails. It said that Rosenberg knew or should have known that Hefner had racially and sexually harassed Senate staffers and failed to address the issue adequately. The report concluded that Rosenberg failed to protect the Senate from his husband, whom he knew was disruptive, volatile, and abusive.
Yeah. You know, Steve, I actually just a minute or two ago was in contact with one of the victims in this case around Brian Hefner. And this person told me that they think that one thing that isn't being discussed enough about the conclusions of the Ethics Committee report is that the victim believes that several of the victims of Brian Hefner would not have been assaulted had Senator Rosenberg done his job, had he taken action sooner based on what Rosenberg did know about Hefner's activities. And that's just coming from, you know, from one of Hefner's victims themselves.
Yeah, reading the report, it's obvious that Stan Rosenberg was turning a blind eye to pretty much everything that Brian Hefner was doing, you know, making excuses for him. Oh, he has some mental problems, he said. It could be because of drinking. It was always, it seemed to be making excuses for the actions of his husband, trying to downplay some of them, and ultimately they cost him his career.
Now, you know, I'm looking at the statement that Stan Rosenberg put out today, and, you know, he does say that he deeply regrets the difficulties the situation has created and that he had hoped, though, with the conclusion of the investigation, he'd be able to focus on representing his constituents, but that he's resigning his position because he just doesn't see that as possible anymore.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the Senate was ready to basically strip him of everything if he remained a senator, or even if he was reelected in the fall and came back next year. He would be just a senator, not a chairman of any committee, not in leadership, nothing. He would just be a backbencher because of the way the Senate set up. Basically, every senator is a chairman of something. They always, and that comes with extra money and things like that. Stan Rosenberg would not get any of that. So, you know, it pretty much with the senators, I think, privately and publicly calling for him to resign, he had no choice.
In his statement, he says that he was unaware of many of the events attributed to Brian Hefner. But, you know, on the other hand, obviously he didn't do enough because now he has to resign from the Senate. He had to step down from the Senate presidency a while ago because of this terrible series of events. I just want to get your reflection, Steve, on, you know, what this means for it's a tragic end to a long career in Massachusetts state politics,
sure.
Right? In more than 30 years.
Yeah, I mean, a legislator was telling me today that so often we compare things to a Greek tragedy, and she said this really truly is a Greek tragedy, what's happened here. Stan Rosenberg, basically everybody thought, you know, the he had two things going on in his life, the Senate, which he'd been here for over 25 years, and the legislature, which he'd been here much longer, first as a state rep, and prior to that, he was a Senate staffer in John Oliver's office. Way back in the 1970s and 1980s. He is a creature of this building. And the other thing he had in his life was his husband. And, you know, both collided and he came crashing down because of it.
Mm. You know, again, I at the risk of repeating myself, I'm just looking at the language that Stan Rosenberg is using in this resignation, Steve. I mean, he says, I was unaware of many of the events attributed to Brian and took steps to address those incidents that came to my attention. That does not diminish my sorrow at what reportedly transpired or my sense of responsibility for what the Ethics Committee concludes was a failure on my part. I mean, Steve, as you said, you've been following Rosenberg for a long time. Can you just remind us of the relationship that he had with Brian Hefner and why it was so vitally important to Senator Rosenberg for so long? I mean, help us explain the turning the blind eye
sure.
here.
Sure. For years and years and years, Stan Rosenberg was a closeted gay man who did not pursue any relationships. He was a confirmed lifelong bachelor. Brian Hefner, around 2008, came into his life. He was assigned a temporary job in Stan Rosenberg's office. They met. They clicked. Once Brian Hefner left the office, they began a relationship. Stan Rosenberg, I think, credits Brian Hefner for bringing him out and getting him out and coming into a relationship, a personal relationship. They both were foster children. They both had a lot in common. And around 2011, Stan Rosenberg was very, very ill with cancer. And Brian Hefner stood by him. And Brian was much younger then, in his early 20s. A lot of people said, you know, in that case, someone of that age and that age difference might have run away if you were going with somebody 37 years older and it looked like they were going to die, they would run away and just kind of ghost. Brian Hefner didn't do that. He stuck with him through that illness, and I think Stan Rosenberg really appreciated it, and it contributed to the love that he has for Brian Hefner, and didn't want to abandon him after that. And then all of this came crashing down.
Crashing down, indeed. And as I said, I keep thinking of one of the victims who, again, I just spoke with just moments before the show, who said that, you know, love or not, had Senator Rosenberg done his job, based on what we see in the Ethics Committee report, this victim says some of the people who were Brian Hefner's victims may never have been assaulted. I mean, if Rosenberg had done his job. Okay, so let's just move ahead here a second, Steve, because I have some tape here from Governor Charlie Baker. Now, we know that he has said that he respected the opportunity to work with Stan Rosenberg for the past several years, even though obviously they didn't agree on several key issues, but that he does believe it was appropriate for Senator Rosenberg to resign. And then Governor Baker also said this on the work left to be done on Beacon Hill.
But as I've said many times, there's a lot of stuff on the legislative agenda that needs to get done between now and the end of July. And I am concerned, and I've said this before, about how much needs to get through the system over the course of the next 50 or 60 days. And I really hope that the focus from this point forward can be on making sure we deliver on the agenda for the people who put us here in the first place, which is the voters.
So tell me, how is that possible there, Steve? Because, you know, I still feel as if all those Democratic legislators are going to have to work hard to sort of get past this, if they can.
Yes. They will, but a lot of the businesses, some of the business, I don't want to say it's routine, but you have the state budget. The state budget has to be done. That is a huge, huge thing that really just takes up a lot of the time in the months of May and June leading up to July 1st, which is the first day of the fiscal year. So they're going to have to buckle down on that. On the Senate side, the senator who is steering the budget, once the Senate is now about to tackle the budget, is Karen Spilka. She's the Senate Ways and Means chairwoman, but she's also locked up the votes to be the next Senate president, and that transfer is going to take place after the budget is done, presumably the end of June, the beginning of July. Now, they'll probably try to figure out what do they have on their plate, what other pieces of legislation can they salvage before they have to stop working on legislation, which would be on July 31st. So they have a month there, and during that month, the transfer of power in the Senate president's office will go from Harriet Chandler, who, while she does have the title of permanent Senate president, she's really viewed as a temporary stopgap president while this transition's taking place. Karen Spilka will assume the position of Senate president, and she will be leading the chamber from there on out. Hmm. So she can bring her influence onto things that you know, there's an opiate bill that the governor would like to get through, and some other pieces of key legislation that they'd like to get done before they have to call it quits at the end of July.
Yeah. Well, that's WBUR State House reporter Steve Brown speaking to us from the State House today about the news of Senator Stan Rosenberg announcing his resignation. Steve, thank you so very much.
Thank you, Magda.
All right, we want to take a quick look at what this means for Rosenberg's home district. So let's turn to Dan Crowley. He's managing editor of the Daily Hampshire Gazette, and he joins us from Northampton. Dan Crowley, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thanks. Glad to be here.
What's the local reaction there been over the past day?
Well, it's still sinking in, I'll tell you that. We have reporters out right now talking, fanned out, talking to constituents, and I think what we've been hearing over the last 12 to 24 hours has been sadness, disappointment, some shock. I talked with one woman today who, in passing conversation, Rosenberg came up, and I said, well, you know, he's announced he's resigning tomorrow. She was stunned to hear that. Certainly everybody out here that's tuned into this and to state politics and the legislature knows what he's been going through. There's still he still has a loyal base of support here, and what we are hearing, and we'll continue to hear more, is that you know, what's happened here shouldn't diminish his many accomplishments over a 30-year career in the legislature. As you can imagine, that kind of longevity, he's got the connections and the relationships that he's established over the decades.
Can I just jump in here for a second,
yeah.
Dan? Because, I mean, this is yet another one of those moments where I am reminded that these stories are very complicated, right? We have, like you said, a multi-decade-long career of Stan Rosenberg in state politics, you know, representing the district there. But the Ethics Committee report just yesterday found that in a key way, Rosenberg failed in his leadership capacity in protecting staffers in the Senate from problematic, to say the least, behavior that he knew his husband was doing. I mean, what's the reaction in the district, you know, to that part of his legacy as well?
Well, people haven't drilled down into that detail yet on that, and yes, it is the case that the report found that he failed to enforce the Senate's anti-harassment policy, and that you know, failure in judgment and leadership exacerbated and allowed Hefner's behavior to continue. That was a key finding of the report. You know, and it's our editorial position that he's made the right decision here, because there's been enough of a breach of trust with not only his Senate colleagues, but the constituents who have routinely elected him in the district as well. So, and I think in his statement on his resignation, Stan is acknowledging that.
Yeah.
In his words.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he had already lost his presidency of the Senate. And, you know, yesterday the Ethics Committee recommended that he get no leadership positions whatsoever. So his resignation did seem somewhat inevitable. Either way, his power to represent the district was severely diminished no matter what. So I'm wondering now you're going to have a new state senator there.
Yeah, and well, that speaks to a larger issue here because we now have this ongoing political vacuum in the western part of the state. Northampton, as of tomorrow, will have no representation in the state house. Peter Cocott, the state rep from Northampton, died earlier this year, and that seat is vacant. And now, with Stan leaving, Northampton is sort of in a vacuum. And in addition, John Sybak is finishing after this term. Stephen Kulik from Worthington, longtime legislator, vice chairman of the House Ways and Means Committee. So there's the whole power structure in Western Mass has kind of been turned on its head right now, and there's all kinds of candidates coming out of the woodwork for these seats right now, particularly the seat that Stephen Kulik held. I think there's at least 8 candidates. Wow. Stan has a challenger that emerged, Chelsea Klein from Northampton, and right now it's my understanding that the deadline for nomination papers was Tuesday. So she, as far as we know, is the only candidate that was able to get her papers in and get on the ballot.
Wow. All right. Well, so there's definitely a lot to then keep an eye on there in the district. Dan Crowley, managing editor for the Daily Hampshire Gazette, thank you so much for joining us today.
My pleasure.
All right. So that's the latest on the resignation announcement of Senator Stan Rosenberg. We'll have definitely more about that on WBUR on All Things Considered over the course of the afternoon.